If you've got your Bibles, let's turn to Exodus chapter 15, where we read some of those words, and we're going to look at that in a moment. Last night, I probably should have been preparing for today. I kind of got distracted by the tennis, and as some of you might have been, and because we were really watching history made, and as Emma kind of went out there, and you saw the birth of a new sporting superstar in quite remarkable fashion. And what struck me in watching the tennis was thinking, is Emma going to crack? Because suddenly there was adversity. Suddenly you serve a double fault, or suddenly you lose a point, or you lose your service. And the question is, how are they going to respond? Are they going to fall apart? Or are they going to come back? Are they still going to try the ambitious shots that are required to win? Or are they going to start playing defensive? And the thing is, whenever we experience trauma in our lives, whenever we experience difficult times and hard times, there's a propensity in the human spirit to turn inward, to become defensive. You know, if somebody punches you in the ribs, and I'm not recommending you do that, but you know, the next time you approach that person, you're protecting your ribs, you're playing defensive, and because you've gone through a hurt, you've gone through some kind of pain, and the question and the challenge is, how do we respond to the trauma? And I guess this morning I want to just reflect very quickly about a response as a church community to the trauma of COVID as we come back. In the story of Exodus 15, we see that the children of Israel have been led by God to the Red Sea, probably overlooking the Sinai, probably through the Sinai Peninsula, and about to cross through into what is today Arabia. And they are traumatized. Everything they had anticipated that God was going to do for them hadn't happened. They found themselves in a desert. They found themselves being chased by Pharaoh's army. They found themselves with the sea in front of them. And people were despondent. They were in despair. They were saying, how has God brought us to this place? Does he hate us in order that we are going to die here in this God-forsaken little bit of land between the sea and Pharaoh's army? And here they are, and suddenly in the midst of this, when it looks completely desperate, when the people have lost heart, God does the most amazing thing. God actually tells Moses to raise his staff over the sea and see what happens. And Moses is a little hesitant. If you read Exodus 14, and you'll see a little bit of dialogue, and God's kind of starts getting impatient with Moses. It's like, when are you going to get on with it? And Moses was obviously struggling with the thought that God is actually going to do something. But Moses eventually raises his staff, and we know the story. God parts the Red Sea, and the children of Israel cross through. And then the forces of chaos, the forces of destruction that are pursuing the children of Israel, are consumed in the waves as they close back up over Pharaoh's armies. And Exodus 15 then is this amazing song of celebration, a celebration of the God who has brought deliverance to his people. The theme, although it's specifically speaking of the destruction of Pharaoh's armies and God's deliverance, the theme is actually wider. It's the idea of the forces of chaos, represented by sea and the army, that have been defeated by the majesty of the God that the children of Israel serve. It's the majesty, it's the nature of this God that we serve that has defeated these things. Almost 3,500 years later, we still worship that same majestic God. And that God, in the midst of the chaos of our society and our community and COVID and all of the things that we've been facing over the last 18 months remains a majestic God. And so we affirm with the children of Israel, as they do in Exodus 15, that the Lord is my strength and my defense. You know, we think that we can do so many things to offset chaos in our lives. And we try and order our lives in a particular way. We try and find material security. We try and order our families in a particular way, or our churches with a particular expression. We try to protect ourselves from chaos and the things that would wound and hurt, from the things that would damage. We build lives that try to protect ourselves from these things. But you know, the reality is that there is nothing that can ultimately protect us from the forces of chaos other than God and His majesty. You know, one of the things that I'm acutely aware of, and you'll actually be seeing it in the newspaper stories that have been repeated over and over again, are the instances of those who are being diagnosed with terminal illnesses. There's a disproportionate number of people in our situation. I don't know if it's to do with the fact that the NHS has been preoccupied with COVID over the last few months. But we have a high instance of people who are young, who, I mean, we know of several within this church, people known to us within this church, who are in their 30s, who have received terminal diagnosis. And suddenly, life that seemed so certain and so secure is taken from us. Suddenly, the chaos crashes in around us. And the question is, what hope is there in the midst of that? What hope is there in a situation where the church has been shut down in its normal expressions for more than 18 months? The hope is not within ourselves, but it is with the nature of our God. And we're invited in these situations, and challenging as these situations are, to focus on the majesty of God, on who God is. You know, there was a sense that used to exist in our society that doesn't really exist nowadays, where people would go through trauma and they would acknowledge that the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Sometimes in funeral services we use these words, but nowadays we don't use them very much because it feels a little bit uncomfortable. We feel that the sovereignty of God is a little bit uncomfortable. For some reason, it doesn't quite fit the notion that humanity can control everything and determine everything. But ultimately, we worship a sovereign God. And it is because we worship a sovereign God who is majestic that in the midst of chaos and disruption, we can have confidence because the nature of that God is consistent. The second thing that this psalm or the song goes on to celebrate is that this majestic God holds back the waters and makes relative human effort. I love this fact that whatever you throw against God, He's God, and you're not going to win. There were moments, again, if you were watching the tennis last night, where you began to feel for Emma's opponent, and because no matter what she threw, it was just like it was rebuffed consistently. There was just the stellar resilience that was there. And you know, that's human resilience. Imagine the resilience of God. Whatever you throw at Him, it will be rebuffed. Now, don't get me wrong, I think the church has gone through a trauma, and I mean locally and universally, in terms of COVID. Our society has gone through a trauma. But the amazing thing is, if you look at the history of Christianity, is that you will see, because of who God is, the church rebirthed out of crisis, the church reborn and revitalized and renewed out of crisis. And I believe because of who our God is, despite the challenges that we face, that we will know that rebirth. The third thing that we see is that as they celebrate this majestic God, as they celebrate this God who holds back the waters and make relative human effort, we see this declaration in verse 11. Who among the gods is like you, Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders? You see, the thing is, because of who God is, you will see God work wonders. And I guess it's back to what I was saying last week. What do we believe? Do we believe God is able to do this? Do we believe that God can be the worker of wonders in our situation? Do we believe that the next year or two is just going to be a church hanging on? Or do we believe that it will be a church that reveals the majesty of God despite the chaos, despite the challenges, and we see a God working wonders in our lives and in the lives of our community? I guess the challenge for us is, what do we anticipate? What do we anticipate in terms of this God? Because we worship a God who is majestic in holiness and unlike any other force on earth or in the cosmos itself. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you that we can have hope. I thank you that we can have hope not because of our governments, not because of our economy, not because of our education or human efforts. I thank you that we can have hope in the fact of who our God is. Lord, this weekend as we reflect on 9/11 and what occurred in New York 20 years ago, Lord, and how it relativized what looked like human achievement and power and success, and how it demonstrated our vulnerability, how it demonstrated the way that our lives can be changed in an instant. Lord, I thank you that you are an unchanging God. I thank you that we have the hope of knowing you as a God who is awesome in power and who, out of the tragedy and the pain of the situations we find ourselves in, God, you can do a new thing. Lord, we thank you for this. Amen.